Yeah, just for the tip, we've read John 11:1-37. I'm going to be doing this in two parts, and because I just felt that we can't absorb it all, and I believe that God wants to come and do mighty things with us, even in this day. But next week I'm talking about the rising of Lazarus, and I want to tell you today, we're on God's training ground and He's preparing us. And I felt when I was on my knees that God showed me that He's training us for what's to come. And so there's some things that God wants to do with us, some things that He wants to do in us. And can we just pray? Can we just pray together? Can we just maybe put our hands out? Lord Jesus, we just say we thank you for your presence. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father, so much for giving us this precious gift. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us the beautiful one who you've raised to be high above everything. That at his name, every knee will bow one day and confess that he is Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just say, Lord, today we want to be a church who bend down and confess you are Lord over our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And we say this training that you want to do in us, we say today, and I want to say, I want to respond to everything,
yes,
absolutely everything that
yes,
you're saying to me.
Yes,
so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move. And I pray that you'd make us present. You'd make us present in the moment so we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking. And I pray for every distraction in Jesus Christ's name to be gone. And I pray for our minds to be fully concentrated on what you're saying, Jesus, to us. Holy Spirit, move, we pray in your lovely name. Amen. I do write like copious amount of notes. David, don't you have to tell you when I'm at home. And I should think this morning that I probably won't be speaking for him. That's how just God works with me. But I just want to say that God wants to take us higher and deeper. He wants our relationship with him to be in a deeper way than it is now. Because if we think, even for some of you, you've been Christians for years and years, there is more for you. You've maybe not known Jesus very long, and there's more for you, but there's always more. And if we get in this complacency of where we have arrived, and we kind of know the things, we know the stories. So many of you are kind of been Christians maybe for 20, 30, 40 years. And what happens is we become over familiar with Scripture. And God doesn't want us to do that. And so you'll know this Scripture. It'll be very familiar to you. But I want to share three things. And today only two things that in the Spirit God has shown me. You see, you get many preachers and you'll hear many people when they come to church. It's all about man. And preachers even start about man. But not in this church. We start with the God of heaven. And you'll know that's why we have the most glorious worship. Because it isn't about man. It's all Godward. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about his divine nature and what he's done for us also. But first and foremost, we always glorify Jesus. And if you don't come rightfully in that place, even when you enter here, when I was saying to you, if you make it about your problems and not about God's presence, you're not going to extract very much. And so even today, when we come to this reading, that has got so many different factors in it. It is about the raising of Lazarus, But I want to tell you, it's a story that's so much more than our supernatural. Jesus, who performed so many miracles, it's a historic event. And it is, it's God preparing his people for the most miraculous, for the most glorious miracle that was going to take place. And that is Jesus' death and resurrection. And so the picture is so much bigger. And sometimes we only see something very small when we actually even read the Bible. So the Bible, when we read it, it stretches us out somewhere. And God wants to do that by the power of his Spirit. He wants to stretch us out. So we're different people as we read the Word of God. And so when we read it, we not only find, as people have taught to you and taught you well in the Bible study, we find, first of all, we find God first in Scripture. But I want to tell you, it can't stay there. You can't just read the Bible just to find out who God is, because God wants to do something more with us. And we have to listen in the Spirit to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Sometimes it's not exactly for us, it's sometimes for the church, it's about the world. But we've got to have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So whether you read the Bible or in a Bible study, please do these things. And then the next thing we have to do, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to challenge our hearts with it. So if you just read the scripture and you go through the motions, you're not going to get very much out of it. Because we have to listen very, very carefully. And so as I listened very carefully, just God was just challenging me. He's been challenging me for some time. And I'm sure for you all he's been challenging you. But when Pete started to speak about us being slaves, to Christ, you know, that is what he wants for us all. When Jesus saw his disciples, he told them to deny themselves, take up the cross and follow him. He told them to leave everything behind. And Jesus wants us to leave everything behind and follow him with great diligence. And how we respond and what we do matters to God. So we've been taught well in this church about justification. We've been taught well about our identification and who we are in Jesus Christ, and that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that we have a new identity. We were once a people of sin, but we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were once people far off, but Jesus brought us near. And what he did, he got a hold of us, and we couldn't do anything unless Jesus and the Father got a hold of our heart of stone and turned it to a heart of flesh. Let me tell you, you couldn't respond. You can't just make yourself a Christian. You have had to have the God of heaven do a divine encounter on your heart. And I want to ask you today, that's why we can sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, because a divine encounter happened on our hearts for us to have this blessed assurance that Jesus Christ is ours. And if you don't know that, you need to let me cry out to God today for him to reveal himself to you and for him to do that. I don't know how the whole process works. I just know that if we cry out, God wants everybody to be saved. I know, understand about predestination, but God wants all to be saved. So if you cry out to him, let me tell you, he will come to you today if you don't know him like that. And the gospel has changed my life, so I can say this is my story, this is my song. I can praise him through everything. And this is the things that I want to talk about today, because even in that moment when we were singing that last song, Trees, I got down on my knees and I just started to like shake, and God started saying this thing, and he said, I am training you for what's to come. Because if you think, and I don't want to be this like ridiculous, scary person, but if you think like we have got dark moments now, there are dark moments to come, and they're going to get darker, and they're going to get darker. And we have to be grounded as Christians in our faith of who we believe God to be. And so when we sing songs, it's so hypocritical for us then not to stand in that in the week. And God is training us of what we say, what we read, and what we speak with our mouths is how we live. So it really, really matters. So when we understand this justified state, it matters to God how we live. If you don't think that your everyday walk with Jesus Christ matters to God, I want to tell you, you are mistaken. It matters to God how you live. And so it was so accurate what Rachel was saying in IGPAY last week. So he was giving us this message, IGPAY, about how we speak with our mouths. And I don't know what that's done to you, but even me and Dave all week, I don't know what you've been like. We've been checking ourselves. Dave was in the car and he was just going to shout, you, yeah. And I went, Dave, like that. And because it's so easy for those words to tumble out of our mouths. And but what did you learn? So this week, have your words been better? How have you been speaking? Have you been less angry? Has something happened to you? Because if nothing's happened to you, what IGPAY said, he might as well not have said it. It was meant to affect your heart, to change you.
That's true.
And so if you're exactly the same as what you were last week, doing exactly the same thing, and not prayed, Holy Spirit, please come and help me with my mouth. Please come and help me with the way I speak. It's so very, very important. So what I want to speak to you today is, I do like jamble on, but I'm not really bothered because I'm just listening to God as I'm like sat here. But God was just talking to me, these two things that I'm going to speak about today. One was about God's deliberate delays. So we'll get back to the scripture. So in verse 6, it says here, so when... he heard, this is Jesus, that Lazarus was ill. He stayed 2 days longer in the place. You know, it was like, was Jesus having a laugh, really? Honestly, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus. He loved them deeply. I can't tell you. I've been reading lots of things, and some commentators say that he could have known them from when he was childhood, when he was going through to Jerusalem, and he would have been passing through Bethany to go to Jerusalem, and they might have stopped there. And it was saying he might have known them since he was like a young child. So, but whether he did or he didn't, or whether he knew them later on, they were dear to him. He deeply, deeply loved him, and they deeply loved him. And so can you think of how confusing it was to Mary and Martha to know that Jesus, the supernatural God who could do anything he wanted, when he wanted, that sent a message, come quickly, Lazarus is really ill, and he decides not to come. Can you think how confusing that must have been for them? And I want to tell you about deliberate delays. This is what the Holy Spirit was telling me about. There are deliberate delays in our life.
Yes.
That when we pray, that God just doesn't answer us straight away. And there's a precision and a preciseness about God's perfect timing over our lives. I can't tell you how perfect God is. If you read from Genesis to Revelations, and I hope some of you have done that. I've done it a few times. I'm not saying I've done notes, but I've read from the beginning of the Bible to the end, and I've done it a few times. It's interesting. It's exciting. But everything that God does is perfect. He doesn't come a minute too early, and he doesn't come a minute too late. And there's going to be some things that we're going to desperately pray for. We're going to be desperately praying for them as a church. And there's some things that you have been desperately praying to God for. And he is delayed. He is delayed in his answer to you. But I want to tell you, he is perfect.
Yes.
His timing is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And God was showing me that how we respond and how we live matters to God. So he was showing me these two things. We can ask God questions. Please ask God questions. I ask God questions all the time. Sometimes I'm confused. A lot of people, and a lot of people don't know, but I haven't been very well, and things are not getting better. And God just said to me, he just whispered in my ear one day, and he just said, I want you to speak as if this is your last day. I'm not saying I'm going anywhere, but I don't know whether I am. But I'm going to speak as if this is my last day. And every time I speak, I'm going to speak as if this is my last day. And maybe I will challenge you to do the same, because we would say a lot different things if we knew it was our last day. We would say a lot more things about Jesus if we knew it was our last day. We would give the gospel away more than we do if we knew it was our last day. And so that's what God was showing me. And so it is okay. It is okay to ask God questions. God, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? What is happening here? I don't know. I've prayed these prayers, but they don't seem to be answering. God, will you show me? Please, will you show me? And God, by his Spirit, will tell you. But I want to tell you something so serious. Don't question God. You can ask God questions that is saying, God, what is happening? But
yes.
Don't question God. Yes. That is to challenge him. When you start to challenge him, you start to accuse him. And when you start to accuse him, you become a very, very different person. And that accusation usually leads to anger. And I want to tell you something very, very, very seriously. You can't be angry with the God of heaven.
No.
I've heard some people say the most ridiculous things in my years of being a Christian. God can take it, I've heard people say. Oh, you can be angry with God. Go shout at God and go tell him. He can take it. Don't you dare be angry with the Holy God. Don't you dare go challenge a Holy God. You can ask him questions, but don't go challenging him. He's God. And his timing and his ways are truly perfect. And so I felt that God was showing me that when we get in that state, it's because we have lack of trust. And lack of trust is a heart issue. It massively is a heart issue and a lack of an understanding who God is. And God has done some marvellous things with me over the years. But the biggest thing is really knowing you can trust God if you know how much he loves you. So if you know how much he loves you, he will not disappoint you. He will not fail you. He will not let go of you. He will not abandon you where you are. He will protect you. He has tight hold of you. He's watching out for you all the time. All the time his eyes are on you. And it does start there. And so you need to receive God's love. And give him love. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you to receive more of God's love. So you trust him in all things. Because we are going to need to trust God. That is what he's training us for. We are going to need to trust him. And we are going to need to know that it matters to God everything that we do. And how we obey him. Because in the obedience all the blessings of heaven flow. And I've known that over my life. Over the years. And I continue to know that as God has challenged me when Pete spoke about God is asking some more of some people, and God has been asking me to give some more to him. To you, there wouldn't be hard things. Maybe, I don't know whether there would. But we all have like little things that we like to do. They're not horrible things, and they're just chill out things that we do. And God has been saying to me, I want you to put those things away, because I just want you to be with me. I don't want your mind to have anything else in it except me. And it takes some determination, and it takes some passion for love for Jesus to be able to be completely obedient to all he says. And I believe God's coming like that for some people here today. But I felt that God showed me, and maybe you want to just close your eyes for a moment. In the spirit, I felt that God was saying, there's people here that you feel grieved by me. And this is not good also. And this is what I felt that he was saying. There are people that have felt grieved, that I have delayed with their prayers and not answered them as they thought. And they have retreated from me, and their hearts have become hardened, and their faith levels are low, with little expectation of who I am. And I felt God gave me this scripture in Proverbs and Isaiah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. And do not lean. So do not lean into your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. And he will make straight your paths. For your thoughts are not my thoughts. This is Isaiah 55. And your ways are not my ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are your ways. And your thoughts are my thoughts. And we need to be trusting God in all things, church. And if you are grieved, or if you are angry, I need to seriously tell you, you need to repent today. I say that as a word, as a full turning around, because God is good. And God is good all the time, in your distresses, in your hard times, in your anxieties, in your fears, yeah, in your depression. Whatever it is that you're going through, God is good all the time, and he's perfect. And just receive him today, and know that. Because why I'm telling you that everything matters to God is because this is what he has called over us as a church. He gave us this word after he gave us the word about rearranging. And he was saying to us, this is what he's doing with us all. He's saying, I'm raising the bar because I have entrusted you with displaying my glory. Entrust means to charge or to invest or to trust with a responsibility. So he's saying, I have entrusted you with displaying my glory through the church. And so can you see how our attitude to God's delays and God's timing matters to God? Because we want to display God's glory. So we have to come with a different atmosphere, a different speech, a different way of living. We just have to trust God for who he is. And God was saying, you'll need to accept my challenges as well as my encouragements. And you are going to be where I want you to be. And so when we accept God's challenges, what happens is there's things happen in our lives. So you'll all be going through something. You'll all have something that you're working through. And what people tend to do is they tend to want to pray off. Oh God, remove this. Take this away. Make this better. Instead of saying to God, teach me. Bring forth gold out of me. Teach me and train me what you're doing with me, Lord. We want to pray everything off, get rid of everything, because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. And God sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable for a reason, because he's bringing forth something that's so beautiful and precious from within us, out of us. So we display something glorious. So when all the world is going to be in fear and anxiety, we're going to be in peace.
Yes, come on.
And we're going to be in trust. And so when they're all mourning, I've lost my pension, I've lost this money, I've lost this finances, we're not going to have that anxiety. Because we've got all the riches of heaven at our feet. And there may be things happen to our homes, but actually our homes aren't here. Our homes are in heaven.
Yes.
And so it's a different atmosphere and it's a different perspective. And God is training us to get there. Stop holding tightly to the things of the earth.
Yes.
They mean nothing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Stop holding tightly to your purses. Stop holding tightly to everything. Go give something away and bless people. And so, you know, we will have known that. Chris isn't here, but we don't know how much we've got in the offering, do we? Oh, do you? Well, you'll never be able to stand up and say it. So accept these. And this is, me and Dave were walking one day, and I just heard God's voice. And I loved it. When Dave prays, it like triggers something in me, in the spirit, and I usually, he prays such lovely prayers. And I felt that God was saying, if you know what it's like, if you, well, in the winter months, I think most people get a little bit like fatter, don't they, if I would put it in a nice way. They get a little bit more rounder than in the summer because we just eat different things. But I felt like God was saying, I'm going to get your belts and I'm going to fasten it on the next notch. So I'm going to tighten it up. And I felt that God was saying, you've become flabby and fleshly. And I want to train you, and I want to train you well to the athletes. And that's why when Rachel said this, listen to what God's doing. So that, I'm not talking, please don't understand me. I'm not talking I'm talking in a spiritual sense. We become fleshly. For all of us, we become fleshly. And God said, I want you to be people of the Spirit. So hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the second thing today that I want to speak about is just this wonder of these heights and depths of just Mary and Martha's relationship and how both women, they loved God and they did love God and they loved Jesus, but how different they were. And Jesus has just been, he showed me something very lovely. So you get Mary, and you all know the story about Martha's busying away. Doesn't mean to say she was wrong, that's what she was doing. She was busying away, and then there was Mary, she was sat at the feet of Jesus. And she was sat there, in those traditional times, it would have been the position what men took when the teacher came in, they would have sat at his feet. And but there she was, but she was not just sat with the teacher, she was sat with her friend. She was sat in the presence of Jesus. It was so much more. And she was enjoying Jesus' company. And you know what Jesus says to Mary, Martha? She's saying, why aren't you helping me? I've got all these jobs to do. And Jesus says, she's chosen the better place. You know, we can be so busy, guys, running about all over. And then you get this other bit of the scripture, which is further down in the chapters. And in the next chapter, it tells you she understood. Mary understood who Jesus was. I just want to tell you that. She had a connection with her that was with him that was glorious. But there's some things in this scripture that I feel that are very important for us to learn. So when Martha goes to see Jesus, you know, she says, you know, if you'd come... Where were you? If you'd come a bit earlier. She knew that Lazarus wouldn't have died because he was supernatural. And then Jesus says these things, that he is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him will never die. And there's no resurrection or no... there's no resurrection or there's no eternal life apart from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so there was something lovely in even what she was saying to him and how he was responding to her. But he responds to her with kind of a theological answer. And then Mary comes. And he says, call for Mary. Go get her. She's in the house. Go get her. Because he knew that she would come differently. And here she comes. She comes with the same question. So can I just read it to you? So it's from verse 28. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary. That was Martha. Saying in private, the teacher is here. Or in some things it's saying, the master is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, what did she do? She rose quickly and she went to him. And now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him, and what did she do? She fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, she asked the same question, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews, because some of the Jews came to believe after they experienced the raising of Lazarus, which we'll talk about next week, and he saw them weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus' response was somewhere in Mary coming. So she comes with a quickness, it says. She came quickly. There's something in about hearing the master's voice and coming quickly. Because Mary knew that there was an urgency. Mary knew that that was the master and she must get there quickly. And I don't know, when you read scripture, or when you read scripture, the master is calling you. Through every line. The master is calling you higher and deeper. The master is calling you. How will you respond? Will you be quick? Is there an urgency about you to be with him? Only you know that. But that is what God is training us for. Let there be an urgency. And then what she does, she falls at his feet. Well, in those days, when they fell at the feet, it was usually to somebody who was royal. She knew that he was majesty. She knew that he was king. And when you know Jesus rightly, and that's what I want to say, when you know Jesus rightly, when you know his amazing love over your life, that hung on the cross for you, that shed his blood for you, that gave him his whole everything for you. When you know that rightly, that he's transferred you from darkness to light. When you know that rightly, when you know that you're justified, now you can go right into the throne room of the Father because of the finished work of the cross and the blood of Jesus. When you know that rightly, let me tell you, there'll be some bowing going on. There will be some bowing. And that doesn't mean to say down on your knees physically, because I've told you before, you maybe won't get up. But it's a bowing, a posture within our hearts that bows to him, that says, Majesty, you're my everything, my Lord, my Saviour. So when we come to sing next week, I was so excited that there was not going to be many instruments. Because it will be a test. It will be a test of how much we can praise him. Because how much do we rely on when we come into church? The music. Do we stop singing? Do we listen to everybody else singing? Or do we participate to worship and bow down to the God of heaven? Well, it will be an absolute joy for us to do that all together. Because we're going to come with some singing voices, we're going to come with some praying lips, and we're coming with some bowing down. So I want to say anticipate and get yourself ready.
You all right?
Because that's how we're going to come. And what does she do? There's a cry in her. She cries out the three things that Martha did not do. And she cries out to God, and something of that crying out to God connects with Jesus' heart. So wherever you are, I was saying this to somebody today, if you've got a cry, let it out. If you've got pain, let it out. You are in the safest place. If you need to ask Jesus a question today, ask him a question. You're in the safest, safest place. And we are creating an atmosphere here for everybody to be individual, to everybody to be respond in the way, for worship to be free. So people will worship in different ways, but there is a freedom here to do that. And so I want to say to you, it really matters that you see it as majesty. It really matters that you see Jesus, that he is glorious. It really matters to Jesus that you see his holiness.
Yes.
It matters. It really, really matters. Mm. And if you've got control issues, and next week, we will be getting rid of everything. Even today we'll be getting rid of everything. But if you've got some control issues that you have to be in control, he's coming in. If you have to be in control, let me tell you, God is going to get rid of some restraints and some things, and we're going to see God do some deliverance. And so you maybe thought deliverance was just like people wailing and screaming and writhing around, but even in deliverance, God can come quietly. And so God is going to deliver us. So I want today for us to respond to these things that I've spoken about. Maybe just close your eyes for 2 minutes while I'm just going to say these things. And we'll just have 2 minutes where you listen to the Master's voice, what he's saying to you.
Yeah.
So it matters to God that we come quickly and urgently. It matters to God that we see his beauty and that we bow down to him. It matters to God how our hearts respond to his challenges and to his training. It matters to God that we display his glory. It matters that the church displays the glory of God, worshipping him rightly, giving him everything. It matters to God that we allow God to tighten our belts, to get rid of those fleshly things that restrain us. And I want to ask you today, can you hear the Master calling you?